Like to share with you from the Acts of the Apostles out of the third chapter. And I'll read verses 1 through 6 for your consideration. The third chapter of Acts, beginning at verse 1, the Bible reads, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" Love that fifth and sixth verse. "He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none,'" so they know what he was looking for.
That's right, that's right.
"'But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" Supporting scripture this morning, Philippians 4:19. "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." On the basis of those verses, we'd like to use a thought of subject this morning: asking for what you want, but getting what you need.
That's right.
Asking for what you want, but getting what you need. You got to trust and believe that God's going to work it out. He is an all-knowing God. But then God wants us to ask him for those things that we want him to do, to let him know that we are still in conversation with him. Just don't take it for granted that you're my God and you're going to take care of me, but let me know what you want. If you call on my holy name, I'll come to your rescue. The way that we talk to our God is through the words of prayer. And prayer is not always so formal. Prayer is not always that time where you have that particular time of just sitting still. Sometimes you got to pray on the move. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. God is worthy this morning. And so when we come, we ought to come with some joy in our hearts, just knowing that God has blessed us. And so it's again that he has blessed us, and he's allowed us to assemble ourselves together one more time. And we didn't come to look at one another this morning. We come to give him praise. We come to give him thanks. We come to individually let God know that, Lord, I just want to thank you for another week's journey. I want to thank you for another day. I want to thank you, God, for working some things out for me. I want to thank you, God, that I was able to endure the pain or whatever the heartache may be. God, I want to thank you for the joy that I received throughout the week. And God, for all the blessings that you bestowed upon me, because I realize that it's your grace and your mercy. And because of that grace and mercy, I can't help but give God some praise. Let us not take it lightly that we are still counted amongst the living. For the death train continues to run in our community as well as all over the world. We realize, even as I speak right now, a baby is being born, but somebody is dying somewhere. So we got a lot to be thankful for. And if you have a reasonable portion of health and strength, then you owe God some praise. If you know anything about that place called hell, you owe God some praise. We complain about how hot it's been, and it's hot right now to me. But I thank God for allowing me to have sense enough to read his word and to know that there's a place hotter than this. And in that place, there's no air conditioning, there's no fans, there's nothing but heat, torment. And so in order to not go there, we got to do the right thing on this side of life. So I thank God that he's allowed us this space in this time. We know that none of us know where or when our time will come to an end. But we should be very thankful for every day that God allows us to live. And as we live from day to day, we ought to give the fullest understanding that we have no guarantee that we're going to see tomorrow. We sit here and we've been asking for names about what we're going to do and who we're going to recognize on the fourth Sunday, but we don't know who's going to be here and who won't be here. We make preparations, we make plans, but God is the all-knowing God. God is the one that knows exactly what's going to happen in our life. And we've been told, because of the experiences that we go through, we are sometimes encouraged to take it one day at a time. That's some good advice, because there's no need of worrying yourself about a tomorrow that might never be. Yeah. If God has blessed you today, then you owe God some praises on today. When I think of the words of David, when David said on one occasion that this is the day that the Lord God has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe that regardless of what we may encounter from day to day, we should be able to find something to be happy about. I don't care what you've gone through, there's still something somewhere that you ought to be happy about. You ought to be happy that God has blessed you. You ought to be happy that God allowed you to see another day. And every time God blesses us to see another day, then it lets us know that we still have hope. And that hope gives us another opportunity to make things better. That hope for tomorrow let us sort of clean up some of the stuff that we messed up. That hope actually gives us an opportunity. Sometime we heard the hymn that the songwriter that wrote and penned the words that you got to sweep around your own front door. Anybody need to do some house cleaning this morning? Instead of worrying about what the Joneses are doing or what the Pittmans are doing, you better clean up around your own front door. If you can get things clean around there, then you find out that things will work out for your good. I thank God for that hope. I thank God, because if it hadn't been for the hope that I have in the power of a loving God, then we all would be most miserable. There are things that you may have asked God for, and you may have not have got your answer yesterday, but if God allowed you to see another day, today just might be your day. You don't know what day God is going to really bless you, but every day, if you look at the reality of life, every day that you're above ground, every day that you are able to hear, to speak, or to talk, or whatever the case may be, then God has blessed you. I want God to bless me with a mindset that somehow, some way, everything is going to be all right. Whatever I put in his hands, and all I need him to do is to help me to step back out the way and let God handle it. See, too many times we ask God to do it, but we don't give God a chance. We get impatient. We want God to bless us instantly. We want God to do those things right now. And there are times when he is a right now God. But then there are times when we got to wait. We got to tarry. We got to see what the Lord God is going to do. And as we watch God work in our lives, sometimes we can see what he does in the lives of others, and it encourages us to hold on. Sometimes we can see how he had the power of taking a man that's been broken down and he built him back up, and he giving him his mindset back. He's giving him his joy back. He's allowed him to know that it's not all over yet. There's some folk out there that's going through this morning. But as they go through, we as the children of God, the Bible declared the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. I am a true believer that what God has for me is for me. And no matter what the naysayers say, no matter what my haters might think about it, God will work it out. I don't care how many times somebody told you you wasn't going to make it. If God got it for you, it's going to be yours. There are times when the situation at hand begins to be blim and dim, and you begin to hold your head down. You begin to think, Lord, why me? But then God realizes that there's something that only you can handle. He allowed you to go through so that you can be an inspiration to somebody else. And it's not always the bad things. It's not always sickness. We sometimes dwell too much on the sick part of life. But we ought to realize that God also wants us to have joy. God wants us to know that he will work things out for our good. Then we got to understand that no matter what the naysayers say, on the other hand, when God steps in and blesses us, we ought to be grateful enough. Thankful enough to give our God some praise. I'm reminded this morning of a song that Sister Mary used to sing, which says, everything good that has happened to me, God did it. I don't care how many times you begin to boast about, oh, I'm a hard worker and I saved my pennies and I did this and I did that. You can't do nothing without the power of a loving God. How could I move? How could I even have my being if it was not for God? I'm so glad that my eyes opened up this morning and I was able to see, but I didn't wake myself up. God woke me up this morning. Anybody in here glad that God woke you up? Anybody realize that when God wakes you up, that is a reason right there to give him praise? Yes. I found out that as silly and as crazy as I am, I still got my right mind. And if you got your right mind, that's another reason to give your God praise. As I look out on your faces this morning and I can see what I'm looking at, that's another reason that I have to praise my God. When I feel it in my heart right now, thinking about his goodness, I can't help but praise him and to give him thanks. And I know I'm not the only one to come in this house this morning with praise in their heart. Somebody else in here glad to see another day. There's somebody else in here that know that they owe God a praise. And not just a praise, but we owe God some praises. No, we like to dwell on that song, I owe God a praise, but I got to pluralize that thing because God has been so good to me. And the old saints of old say he just keeps on doing great things for me. When I thought I wasn't going to make it, God turned it around and let me know that everything was going to be all right. So it ought to give us a mind to be able to let go and let God have his way. If we've ever had an opportunity to ask God for something and God had blessed us with it, we ought to show some appreciation. Whether it's for us or whether it was somebody. Because it's a good thing that we don't just pray for ourselves. We ought to be praying one for another. And God teaches us, the Bible teaches us in the words of Jesus as he encourages us to pray in the Gospel of St. Matthew 7. He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So, what I got to do, or what you got to do, what we got to do is, first of all, have a mind to open up your mouth. Then you got to know that God is able to read your mind. Because think about those individuals that cannot open their mouth and speak. Think about those individuals that have never mumbled not one word, but God still has a way of communicating with them. He is able to reveal it by and come through their spirit. So that songwriter said, if I couldn't say a word, I'd wave my hand. I got to know what the hand wave is all about. Now, I'm not talking about the wave you do at the football game. You don't have to bounce up and throw your hands all up in the air, but you ought to have a mindset that every now and again, I want to give my God some praise. When we want something from God, we got to learn how to ask. It's been said that he will even give us the desires of our heart. So sometimes not only what we need, but how many of you know you got a whole lot of what you want? Somebody in here right now. Then ask God this past week for something that you didn't need. You just wanted it. We got to learn how to distinguish the difference between a need and a want. Everything that comes to your mind, that don't mean that you got to have it. But God has blessed us in such a way that we become so selfish and we are so spoiled in our own right. Isn't it amazing how poor folk like us can be spoiled? We blame it on the children. Now I'm looking at some old folk in here spoiled this morning. Got everything that you need. Got more at home than you ever had in your life. If you were to take inventory of what you got and what your mama and your granddaddy had, then you'd realize that they didn't have very much. But I'm so glad that they taught us how to appreciate everything that we have. We live in a world that every day somebody is asking somebody for something. There are people right now. They got their spot picked out. They got their corner. They got their crossroad that every day they're going to faithfully be there asking for alms. Those that are from those that are passing by. We see it every day. Even in the small city of Lexington, you can still have panhandlers. You got somebody that's always standing on the corner. There's somebody always standing at around certain stores, hanging out there. And what they're doing, they're waiting to see those people going to and fro. Then they sort of weigh you out. If you look like you're a nice guy, you look like you're a good woman, then they feel like you are approachable. Now, if you get out of the car like some of us get out the car sometimes, and you got that certain kind of look on your face like you better not ask me for nothing, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to bother you. But if you're a nice guy, if you're a nice lady, and you get out and you say, how you doing, then you done messed up. All they want is that one small spot within you that they feel like that I can draw compassion from you. We ride by and they're standing there with a sign that says, I'm hungry. And if you ever been hungry before in your life, you can't help but to feel for them because some of them look like they're hungry. That don't necessarily mean that they're hungry. We got some con artists out there. We got some folk that got a good story to tell you, and they dress it up so good to where when you got out, you said you weren't going to give them nothing, but all of a sudden, there you go digging in your pocket. Then we got those of us sometime that we are just in such a hurry. We don't want to be bothered, so just to make sure that you don't give me this long, drawn conversation, man, take this $2 and get out my face. Anybody in here ever done that? You know how it is when that somebody got the hand out and you didn't want to give it to them, but just because you didn't really want to be bothered, you gave it to them anyway. Now watch this. You didn't get a blessing from it. Because if you give and you're not giving from the heart, if you're not giving out of love, if you're not giving because that's the right thing that you want to do, you just gave up $2. You gave it up because you knew that, oh, I can spare $2. But if you want a blessing and you give somebody a little bit of all that you got, you're going to cut yourself short. I was going to get $5 worth of gas, but now I'm just going to get $3 because I want to make sure that you can get a biscuit. We got to know and understand that there are those out there that are in need. But then again, there are some out there that just want your money. As little as you may have, there's always others that have less than what you got. So no need of crying and pleading the poor mouth all the time. You got something sometimes. And I'm not saying that you are obligated to give your hard-earned money to somebody else. You old folk, it's on a fixed income. Now you're not working hard to get your money, but you worked hard to get what's coming in. So you got to watch, and you can't let anybody fool you and take what you got coming in, because when you shortchange yourself, 9 times out of 10, that one that you give to is not going to give back to you. But I found out that if you do right by other folk, you know, we were talking about planting those good seeds last week. If you plant some good seeds with a good heart, then it doesn't matter whether they come back or not. Somehow, some way, God is going to bless you. We know God to be the shepherd, the supplier of all of our needs. There are those of us this morning that could say with pride and conviction, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We hear the words of our supporting text this morning where Paul begins to talk about the sufficiency of God. He realized that I serve a mighty God. I serve a God that has taken care of all of my needs. But Paul said, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last of your care for me have flourished again wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. When God gives you an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody, don't look down your nose or don't go run and tell everybody. Sometimes you got to give it because you want to give it. Then when you give it, you ought to let it alone and not ever bring it up anymore. Anybody in here know how to give from the heart? Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, but I learn in whatsoever state that I am in. Therewith to be content. Paul says, I know both how to be abased. I know how to be abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Both to be abound and to suffer need. What Paul was saying is that I knew some good days. There are some days I had more than I needed. But I also remember there was some time when I didn't have enough to go around. But I found out that however the Lord blessed me. I'm reminded of the song that says, anyway you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. And I just stopped by to let you know by the words of Brother Paul. Paul said, but my God, the one that says high and he looked down low. Am I talking about anybody's God in here? To know that God will supply your every need. You see, Paul wasn't asking them for any gifts. He wasn't dependent upon what they were going to do. You see, there's some folk, as I talked about a little bit ago, that are out there on the roadside that might have their sign and say that I don't have this, that, or the other. But I'm so glad this morning to know that I serve a God that gives me the right spirit. A spirit of knowing, I know what it is to have a lot. But, oh, Lord, I know what it is to have a hunger pain. But is there anybody in the house that realize that when you get hungry, God always will give you a biscuit? For he said, cattle upon a thousand hills belong to the Lord our God. And I want to be like Brother Paul. Paul said, I'm not complaining about what I'm going through. I'm not asking you to do anything for me. But if you got an opportunity to do what I need to have done, I need you to do it right now. But don't do it just because I asked you to do it. You ought to do it because you got love down in your heart. I just stopped by to tell somebody, because it's time for me to get on up out of here. The Lord God has been good to me. He made a way out of no way. When I looked down in this word of God on last night, and I saw that there was a man by the name of Peter and John. They went up into the temple and they went at the hour, the ninth hour, to pray. Now the ninth hour was 3 p.m. in the afternoon. You ought to have a time when you call on the name of the Lord. And when they got there, they called on the name of the Lord. They realized that there was a certain man. Didn't give the man's name. And sometimes you got to learn how to stop telling everybody's business. If you help somebody along the way, you ain't got to tell nobody that I gave them bread to make it over to another day. You ain't got to let nobody know that you bought somebody a bag of groceries. You ought to be glad that you were able to do what you could do. But the Bible said that this certain man, that he had been lame from his mother's womb. Somebody brought him daily at the gate of the temple. The temple was called Beautiful. And at this temple, they would always lay him at the gate. It's almost like if somebody was sitting outside the church door. And every time somebody come in the church house, they'd have their hands out, begging for alms. And that's what the Bible declares. When they seen Peter and John going into the temple, this man of God sat there by the wayside. He asked them for alms and asked them for a little bit of money. But Peter fast his eyes on him. And John said, look on us. In other words, what do you want from us? I want to let you know that there's somebody out there got their hands open right now. But the Bible declares he gave heed unto them. In other words, when I ask you for something, I'm not asking in vain, but I expect to get something. If anybody ever had to ask somebody, could you loan me $4 to help me make it to next week? And they began to say this excuse, that, or the other. But I'm so glad that I got some friends in my life that if I ask them for $1, they might give me $2 or $3. Help me tide along the way. I got a friend in my life that treat me just like a brother. And he don't know how well he blessed me. Because there are times when my money gets short. And that rascal will show up and give me $50 on the spot. I'm just so glad to know that sometimes you don't have to ask. For the Lord know what you stand in need of. And God has sent somebody along the way. I'm so glad that this man was sitting by the wayside. And he asked Peter and John for a little bit of money. Peter said unto him, such as I have, I give it unto you. Silver and gold have I none. In other words, I don't have no money in my pocket. I can't give you what you want, but I can give you what you need. Because what you need is not a little bit of money, but you need strength in your ankle bone. You need strength in your body. He said, I want to let you know right now, for in the word of God, he said, I want you to get up. I'm going to give it unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. Get up off the boat. Get up off your behind. You're not going to be lame anymore. For the Bible declares immediately there was a right now praise. There was a right now blessing. For God blessed him right there on the spot. He got up on his legs. He began to rejoice and give God praise. You know, when God blessed some of us, we sit out and act like he ought to did it. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that the Lord God has done, I can't help but tell my God, thank you. I see this man right now been laying at the beautiful gate by the temple every Sunday morning looking for a handout. But on that day, he asked for what he wanted. But he got exactly what he needed. For he got healing that picked him up off of his stool. That got him a mind to say, I'm going to give my God praise. For the Bible said he went praising God. Went with Peter and John in the temple. See, in the other Sunday, he laid outside the temple, taking anything that he could get. But now that he got what he needed, he went inside the temple grace. He gave his God some praise. Is there anybody in the house that want to give your God praise for being your God, for giving you what you need, not necessarily what you want? Asking for what you want, but getting what you need. Who wouldn't serve a God like that?